Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, how's everyone doing? Awesome. Well, we are here in week four of our series of Uphill Habits that we've been going on all month. And before we get into that, I just want to reiterate, I'm going to drop my card, about Football Sunday. Got an extra right here. Football Sunday, next Sunday is coming up, and I've got cards for you like this. You should have been on your seat when you came in. You can grab those. And I just want to encourage you to invite somebody this week. I read a report this week that 65% of people would come to church if someone just invited them. 65%. That's pretty good odds. So you got a good chance of someone you invite to come to church this week. So I'm asking you, just take these cards, invite somebody, get on Facebook, share the event on Facebook or Instagram, get on those places, invite people to church. Next week is a great opportunity for us to have somebody sitting next to us in the chair that you invited, someone who's far from God. There's a few Sundays throughout the year that should be the picture. You having somebody who is far from God or doesn't know God or isn't close with the Lord sitting in the chair next to you. And here's the deal is that when it's time at the end, when we have the time where we all bow our heads and close our eyes, I give you permission to kind of peek a little bit. Kind of peek. Because when they raise their hand and they receive Christ, you're going to say, this was the greatest Sunday of my life. So man, I encourage you and challenge you, take these cards this week, invite somebody. It's going to be a great week. And just tell them, hey, we're going to have this cool Super Bowl thing in my church. There's going to be a tailgate party with free food afterwards. There'll be bounce houses for the kids. It's going to be awesome. And the pastor's pretty cool. But, you know, I have to tell you. You guys know I like to mess around and have fun. But we've been in our series, Uphill Habits, and I've got a great word for you today. So let's pray before we get into the word. Lord, I thank you for just being here with us today, God. I thank you for the ability to gather together with your people, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that you would speak today. Lord, speak to hearts through your Spirit, Lord God. Not my words, Lord, but your words, Lord God. We pray that you would increase in this place, God, and I would decrease. Lord, I pray for your anointing to move across this house today, Lord God, and that our hearts would be open and good ground, Lord God, to your word, that it would go down deep inside of us and take root and produce fruit. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, Uphill Habits, it's been a great series. I don't know if anybody else has been challenged by this series, been working on your habits, anybody else? Yes. We've been doing four biblical habits that we're going to put into our lives in this new year so we can go a new direction. And kind of our basis for this series has been that so many times in our lives we have uphill hopes, right? We have hope to want to be in a better place. We want our marriage to be better. We want our life to be better. We want to financially be in a better place at the end of the year. You know, 1 year from now, I don't want to be in the same place or in a worse place. I want to be in a better place. Anybody else with me? Come on. But so many times we keep downhill habits in our lives. The same habits we've always lived with that don't take us closer to our goals. We keep them in our lives. But this is the year we're putting new habits in our lives so that now our habits are going to be in alignment with our hopes and move uphill. Because everything in life that's worthwhile is uphill. Right? Everything worthwhile is uphill. So each week we've been looking at a different habit that we're putting to practice in our lives. Habit number one is we are saying we are focusing on what we do first. Focusing on what we do first, right? We're going to put God first in every area of our lives. God has this requirement that he will only be first. He won't be second, that he'll only be first. And if God's not first in your life, then he's probably not in your life. Because he'll only be first. We're going to put the habit of putting him first. If you missed any of these messages, I encourage you to get on the podcast. Get on the website if you need a refresher. Listen to those. Meditate on them. Let them get into your spirit so you can put these habits into practice in your life. Habit number two, we talked about developing the habit of right thinking. Thoughts are going to come at us all the time, good and bad. But we've got to be discerning to know what are the kind of thoughts that God has for us. What are good thoughts and what are the bad thoughts? What are the ones we need to get rid of? And so when thoughts come, we're not just going to take every thought. We're just going to and camp on it and think about it and hold it and, you know, walk around with it. We're going to take those thoughts. Okay, this isn't the kind of thought I should be thinking about. I'm going to replace these bad thoughts with good thoughts. I'm going to develop the habit of right thinking. Week three, last week, we talked about the habit of focusing on what matters. Man, I was working on this one this week because how many of you know in the chaos of life, things are going on, it's real easy to lose your focus, right? But that's why we're developing the habit. So don't be discouraged if on Monday you don't have the habit down. It takes time to develop habits. That's what we're talking. We're developing habits. We're talking about them. We're reminding ourselves about them, right? So when my focus drifts off, no, I'm going to pull my focus back. We're going to focus on what matters. No, it's drifting off. Ah, I need to pull my focus back, right? We're developing habits, right? And today we've got a great habit. I think it's one of the most powerful habits that we can, of the four. And if truth be told, I think this habit will support the other three habits the most. So I'm excited to give this habit to you. But I want to look at this verse that's kind of been our basis for this series. It's from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In the Message paraphrase, it says this. It says, fix your attention on God. And man, if you miss everything else today, but you get this phrase right here, fix your attention on God. Because when you do, you'll be changed from the inside out. That's the spiritual transformation process that God is taking us on, inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. And isn't that what culture does? Drags us down. God, on the other hand, brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. So the question is, has the best been brought out of you? Is there well-formed maturity in you? I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter your season of life. God has more that He wants to bring out of you. He has an assignment for you in the season of life that you're in. Your days aren't over. If you have breath in your lungs, then God has something for you to do. His plan for you is to continue taking you and developing you. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old, if you're single, if you're married, if you're divorced. It doesn't matter if you have no kids, you have 10 kids or one kid. It doesn't matter if you want to have kids someday, or maybe you're at the prime of your career. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you don't even know what career you want to be in. It doesn't matter the season of life. God has more for you, and He wants to take you higher, but it's uphill. The life that God has for us, I'm fired up today, y'all. Y'all better be ready. Ready in this house. The life that God has for us is amazing and beyond description of what He wants to do in us, but it's challenging. It's uphill. We can do it. We can take the ground. Just like Joshua said in the first couple of chapters of Joshua, the spies came back from the land and they said, oh, we're not able to go in. There's giants in the land. It's a beautiful land, but there's giants and we could never overtake them. We're like little grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua and Caleb rose up and said, we can do it. We're well able to take the land. Let's go. And I'm telling you this morning, you are well able to do what God is calling you to do. We can do it. It's just going to take a little bit of work. But everything in life worthwhile is uphill. Amen? Amen. I'm preaching about 67% better than your amen in this morning. Today's habit is a great one. Are you ready for it? Yeah. All right, if you're taking notes on your phone or on the back of your worship guide, get those out. Habit number four is I'm going to choose my relationships carefully. Oh, come on, this side of the room is ready for the preaching. How about this side over here? I'm going to choose my relationships carefully. See, this really determines more of our life than we realize. Take a minute and just think about your life. Think about where you are today. See, who we are and where we are in life is a result of the people that have been in our lives up until this point. Our story in life, our history is told by those who have been in our lives up until this point. So where are we in our life? So I believe our relationship decisions are some of the most important decisions we'll ever make in our life, second only to when we receive Christ. We all have that decision to receive Jesus. That's the most important. And right after that is our relationship decisions. Because our relationships determine our future, where we're going to go. Heather's uncle has told us day after day, time after time, all the time he would say to us, hey, Uncle Rod, how you doing? Hey, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So true. He ingrained it in, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you don't like where you are, look at your friends. Look at who you're hanging with. Because the crew that you're with are going to determine your altitude. Right? The people you're around are going to be determined where you're going to end up. And if you don't like where you're ending up, then change who you're around. If you're struggling in your business, you don't seem to have the right answers, the right ideas, then you need to get around some successful business people that can speak into your life. You need to get around the right people. You need to get around the right people this morning. Proverbs 27:19 says this. It says, A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really like is shown by the kind of friends that he chooses. That one stings a little bit, doesn't it? Because that last word right there, choose. Yeah, that's right. That means we have some choice in this game. We have some decisions to make. It's up to us. What are we going to choose? And I believe as we develop this habit of choosing our relationships carefully, we're going to see things change in our lives, and it'll begin to support those other habits in our life. Because as we have the right relationships in our lives, they're going to spur you on to put God first. They're going to help you in the time, hey, we're not going to think about that. We're not going to stay there. We're going to move here. And they're going to, hey, no, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on what matters. The right relationships are going to move us the right direction. So I've got a couple things I want to give us today that are going to help us to develop this habit in our lives. I want you to take note of these things, write them down, type them in your phone this morning. Number one, I'm going to nurture my important relationships. I'm going to nurture, cultivate. I'm going to work on my important relationships. Maybe some of you are thinking right now, important relationships, what are those? Hopefully you have some important relationships and you're like, I don't have any of those. Yes, you do. Maybe it's your spouse or your kids, your family, important relationships. Those people that are close to you, important relationships. Too many times we judge the state of the relationship, if it's good or bad, based on the current quality. If a relationship is rough or bad, then what must be a bad relationship? Right? It's true. Come on, I got an amen right over here. Come on. Come on. But isn't it true, like, man, so many people are like, oh, the fire's out of my marriage. But if you have a fireplace in your house, which we don't have many in Florida, but some do. If you have a fireplace and the fire goes out, is it a bad fireplace?
No.
No, you just need to get some wood in that thing. Come on, you need to put some lighter fluid on that baby and get you a match, strike that thing and throw it up in there. Come on, you need to get a fire going again. Man, God has really put on my heart, if I can just diverge for a minute. God has really put marriages on my heart in the season. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your marriage. For those of you that are married, I've been praying for you. And those of you that aren't married, I've been praying for you the same. Because the truth is, one day, hopefully you are going to be married. And there's preparation that you have to do in order to, so when you get married, that you're ready to step into it. And your marriage can be good and move to the place that God has for you. Amen? So I'm excited to tell you, in 2 weeks, the week after Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to start a brand new series on marriage called The Vow. And we're going to talk about four different vows that we're going to make that are going to strengthen our marriages so we can have the God kind of marriage that He wants to have. Whether we've been married before, whether we're currently married, or one day want to be married, you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. And come on, we're going to get the fires rolling again. Come on, that's right. We're going to continue to be married and be strong in our marriage. But see, relationships take work. We're going to have to work on our relationships, nurture them, cultivate them. Think about my relationship with my wife, Heather. I believe I'm married to the best woman in the world. No offense to anyone else, but that's just how I see it. But can I tell you, we have to work on it. It doesn't just come by chance or free. You've got to work on that thing. And, you know, it's like your car. Right? Does your car get up before you go to work and drive itself down to Wawa and fill up with gas for you? That would be sweet, but no. It doesn't get up and go to Jiffy Lube and get an oil change. Ah, that feels better. I needed some clean oil on the inside. No. You got to get in the car, drive that thing down there. You got to pay for it and drive. You got to invest some things and make it work. You got to nurture things. You got to work on a relationship. And just because a relationship takes work doesn't mean it's bad.
Amen.
Right? We've got to work on our relationship. Say work. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. The grass is not greener on the other side. And if it is, if it looks greener, that just means the water bill is a little bit higher over there. It's true. It's true. You know it's true. Because wherever you find green grass, you're going to find somebody watering it. Somebody's going to be watering that grass and trimming it and cutting it and weeding it and pulling things out of there that shouldn't be on there. Whenever you find a good relationship, you're going to find somebody nurturing it, working on it, taking care of it, making sure there's no garbage in there, that all the impurities are out of there. Somebody's working on those relationships. And can I just tell you, if you are struggling today, don't give up. Don't give up. It is harder to get a fire started when it's gone out, but it's not impossible. You did it once before. You can do it again, baby. Come on. And it's like, don't give up. You can get it going. And here's the thing. Where your choices lead, feelings follow. Where choices lead, your feelings will follow. Don't let your life be led by your feelings. This ain't Star Wars. We're not reaching out to the Force with our feelings. This is real life. I like Star Wars. I had to throw it down. We're not going to let our life be led by our feelings. We're going to lead our life with our choices. Feelings come and go. They're flippant. We're going to lead with choices. Feelings will follow. Our choices. Our choices. Number one, I'm going to nurture my important relationships. Number two, I'm going to restore my broken relationships. Oh, this is the one that hurts, right? This one hurts. And I know it's a painful process. I know it is. But the pain of a broken relationship is so much worse than the pain of fixing it. And sometimes it's hard because maybe the other person isn't willing to fix it. That's hard. But can I tell you, the Bible even speaks to that? See, there's nothing that we face in life the Bible won't speak to. Romans 12:17 says this, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That means you can't just do whatever you want. You can't live however you want. Be careful how you live. If it's possible, as far as it depends on the other person, being nice to you, saying the right thing, not taking you off in traffic, and doing all the things you think are right. That's not what it says, is it? No. That's not what it says, y'all. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends right here on me, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes it's not possible. Other person isn't willing. As far as it depends on you. Settle it in your heart. I forgive. Choose to forgive. I'm just going to forgive. Doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Forgiveness is automatic. Forgiveness is automatic. Now, don't mix up forgiveness with just going back and letting some be in an abusive situation or some place where just continue. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is this internal thing where I've decided, no, I'm going to show the love of God to you. And I might need to remove myself from this situation, but I still forgive. I still walk in love. Right? I know it's difficult. I've walked through painful situations in my own life where it's just hard. And it hurts. It's painful. And people even coming up to me, that should have never happened to you. They were so wrong. And doesn't that just make it worse? You want people to agree with you, but and when they do, in those kind of situations, you're like, oh, it just makes it hurt worse. Right? But, man, it's stupid to hold on to unforgiveness. I'm sorry for using that word, but unforgiveness is like setting myself on fire and then hoping that y'all die of smoke inhalation. That is crazy. That's crazy. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. The Lord's Prayer is this thing that almost everybody knows. You don't even have to know the Lord, and almost everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. But it's made up of seven elements, and it's in the Gospel. It's in the Gospels two times, and you know, Jesus prayed it. And so many times, I think when we pray this prayer, we try to pray it exactly the way He prayed it. But I think these seven elements are just elements that should be part of our daily prayer, should be part of our daily focus, whether we pray it in that language or not. But I love that Jesus included forgiveness in this prayer, because y'all, forgiveness is just that daily decision. It's just daily decision. You don't even have to know the person. You could be driving in your car and you can need forgiveness, right? Maybe you're at Publix the day after your fast ends and somebody runs up and grabs the last box of the chocolate chip cookies. Forgiveness for that person. Don't they know this is day 22 and I can eat the cookies? Jesus, help me to forgive. But Jesus said, He said, forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others. Amen. As if He's saying, Lord, forgive me to the degree that I'm willing to let others off the hook. In another passage of Scripture, He says, if you can't forgive each other, then my Father in heaven won't forgive you. Y'all, this is a big deal. Isn't the forgiveness of our sin part of how we came into God's family in the first place? It's important, y'all. And it's just us making the decision to say, I choose to forgive. Man, I've been forgiven of so much in my life. I freely forgive. I need so much forgiveness day to day. Man, forgiveness is going to be automatic for me. It doesn't matter. I choose to forgive. We all need to have this attitude. I choose
to forgive. I'm going to nurture the important relationships. I'm going to restore broken relationships. Number three, I'm going to sever harmful relationships.
Hallelujah.
Woo, yes. Everybody just breathe out. I know, that's hard. That's hard. It's a hard one. We need to just get rid of some relationships in our lives that are harmful. At the very least, those relationships need to be redefined. They need to be redefined, but man, we just got to get some things out of our lives. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about your spouse. Don't be getting in the car and be like, Pastor Chris said you better get out of here, boy. I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about we're gonna nurture important relationships, right? You know the ones I'm talking about. They're the ones deep down inside you know that are not good for you. You know it. You know they're not good for you. We need to cut those things off, redefine those things, get those things out of our lives. See, we need people in our lives who are going to call out the things of God, who are going to call out our destiny in life and call out and push us towards God and stop calling out where we've been, what we used to be. We don't need people calling out our history. I need somebody in my life who can speak to what God has called me to do, because on the days that I'm feeling discouraged, I need somebody to remind me that greater is He that's in me than He that's in this world. That when I'm facing a difficult situation that says, I am an overcomer and I can overcome this situation. We need people who are going to call things out of us and draw us closer to God. Can I get an amen in this place? We've got to get rid of some relationships in our lives. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. One translation says, someone who walks with fools will fall into destruction. Man, where are you at in life? It's time to evaluate, cut off, redefine some relationships in our lives that haven't been good for us up until this point. I read a story about this couple. They were cheating with each other through Facebook. Right? And they were cheating with each other through Facebook, and they each independently set up, you know, this one over here set up a meeting to go meet with their person and do bad stuff, and this other person set up a meeting to go with this person, and they go to their meetings, and they get there, and they go into the room. It's each other. They've been cheating with each other. They got so mad at each other, they got divorced. But isn't this so evident in our culture today? Just relationship status of any kind, just being out in the open and acceptable, and it's okay, and I can just be whatever and go from one person to another person. I'm tired of you. I like this person now. I'm going to come over here. I can be in any kind of relationship I want. I don't have to go by God's rules. I can live with whoever I want. I can be wherever I want. I love you guys. I'm just trying to be a good pastor to y'all this morning. But can I just tell you, God's way works. He has something to say about it. If we'll let Him have say so in our lives, we need to get some things out of our lives. Just read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 and see the result of following this adulterous, flirtatious spirit that leads men to destruction. That's where it leads. It leads to destruction. And it ain't worth it. Just ain't worth it. So, man, Just cut those things out. Flirtatious thing at work, man. Get as far away from that thing as you can. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. We need to sever some harmful relationships in our lives. Number four, we need to initiate some meaningful relationships in our lives. Some meaningful relationships. In other words, we need to start some relationships that we don't have already. And it's hard, I know. I know it's hard. And so many people want this. We want to have better friends. We want to have better influences in our lives. But we just got to be willing to take the steps. Right? But we are going uphill, baby, right? We are going uphill. It's going to be hard. It might be a little awkward meeting new people, right? I know it's kind of weird, right? You're like, hey, how are you? I don't know what to say anymore. Right? We've all been there. I know it's weird. Can I just say something to y'all? Just from me to you as your pastor? Yes. Lovingly. Get over it. Just get over it. Just do something that's hard, that's difficult, and watch what God does in your life. I promise you it'll be worth it. We need some meaningful relationships in our lives. All of us need these meaningful relationships. So how do we get them? How do we develop these relationships? I want to give you four things that we're going to do to intentionally develop meaningful relationships in our lives. And as we do this, it's going to support these other habits that we're doing, right? Number one, I'm going to develop my relationship with my church. Look at your neighbor and say, my church.
My church.
Look at your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, my church.
My church.
That's right. Everybody needs a my church. My church. My church. It's this ownership kind of thing. These are your chairs. Aren't you glad these are your TVs? Super Bowl is coming up. These are your drums. These are your lights. My church. Everybody needs a my church. And if you're new here and you're like, well, I don't know if this is my church. That's all right. Maybe just kind of kicking the tires and checking it out. Do that. Take your time. Figure it out if this is a place where you and your family could be. Ask your questions. Find out all those things. There's season and there's time for that. And there should be. There's that season. There's other seasons in life where we go through. We just need refreshing. God, I'm weary, God. I'm worn out. And we just need God to pour into us and refresh us. There's seasons for that. But can I tell you, you're not meant to stay in those seasons. So many times, people camp out in those seasons. And they're just, I'm just visiting. I can just come and go as I please, and nobody can say anything to me. I'm just visiting, I'm attending. But there's something amazing that happens when you take a step and you say, this is mine. I belong here.
Yes.
I belong. Look at your neighbor and say, I belong.
I belong.
Look at your other neighbor and say, my church.
My church.
See, I believe the Bible is making the assumption that we will act this way. Ephesians 2:19 says, you are no longer strangers to God. You're not foreigners to heaven. But you are members of God's very own family. You're citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's house with every other Christian. Tell your neighbor again, you belong.
You belong.
That's right. See, you'll never get the best out of any relationship until you commit to it. You never will. I think about when me and Heather were dating. You know, it's kind of like this visiting kind of stage where we're just kind of, you know, we're just dating, we're just visiting. I'll pick her up for a date, we'll go out, I'll bring her back home, and then I go back to my place, right? Come and go as we please. No big deal, right? NBD, right? But then one day, we made a commitment to each other, and we got married. Now, we belong to each other.
Yeah.
We belong. We made that commitment. And there is responsibility that comes with commitment, but hallelujah, praise God, there's some privilege and benefits that come with it. All the married people said, amen! There's privilege that comes with membership, but there's responsibility too. See, this idea of this is my church, I belong. Somebody who's the owner of something, when they're walking by and they see a piece of paper on the floor, they're like, oh, I didn't drop that, but this is my house. This is my house. I'm picking that up. This is my house. And I'm just inviting you today to make this your house. This is your house. This is your church. Make this my church. Make this my church. And maybe you're like, well, I don't know if this is the church for me. That's okay. If you feel like this isn't the church for you, it doesn't have to be this church, but you need a my church. And I can recommend several other churches that could be your church. I just happen to believe this is the best one out there. But we all need a my church. We need to take that commitment and make this my church. Number two, we need to develop my relationship with godly friends. You need to have a set of godly friends. How do you know if they're godly? Isn't that the next question? That's what I would be asking. How do I know if they're godly? If being around them causes you to be more godly. That's how you know. Are they perfect?
No.
Do they ever make mistakes? Yes. Do they get it right all the time? No. Do they love God? Are they seeking Him daily? Are they encouraging you? Are they building you up? Are they there to help you when you're weak? Are they speaking life into you? Are they texting you in the morning, hey, today's your best day. Our best days are right in front of us. Are they leading you towards your destiny and not just calling out your history? Come on. We need some godly relationships in our lives. There's a pattern in the New Testament of what the church was meant to look like. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says this. It says, all the believers met together continually and shared everything with each other. They worshiped together regularly in the temple. That's what we're doing. We're gathered here regularly, right? Worshiping the Lord. They gathered together regularly, worshiping at the temple each day. And then they met in small groups and homes for communion and shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness, praising God.
So here they are. They're gathering together. They're worshiping God every day. It says, we're gathering together every week, worshiping God together. It's great. But then it says they went out house to house in small groups. They ate together. They did life together. They shared with each other. They helped one another when one had need. This is what's happening, right? Sounds great. But here's the result of what happened when they did that. Come on, it's going to about to be loud in this place. It says that the whole city was favorable to them. And every day God added to them who were being saved. Can you picture that this morning? Come on. Gathering together here, worshiping the Lord, and then going out and meeting house to house, doing life together, growing in small groups together. And can you picture the whole city of Orlando being favorable to us? Come on. Can you picture that? Hey, you need some land? I've got some land for you. You need some permits? Okay. Hey, what resources do you need? Hey, we need some more trucks. We need some more food to go out into the communities. We need some more people to lead routes to go out there and speak to boys and girls who aren't going to come to church. Can you imagine the whole city being favorable? Hey, why don't you come share the gospel in our stadium? Hey, can you just picture favor? The whole city of Orlando being favorable to us right here. Come on, I need you to catch the vision this morning. And then God adding to our numbers daily, those who are being saved, the populating the kingdom of heaven and pillaging the gates of hell. Come on, that's what we're called to do as a church. That's the picture of the church. And yes, some of you are thinking, here it comes. Here's where he's going to tell me to get in a connect group. Yes, this is the point where I'm going to tell you. Get in a group. Get in a group. Y'all, there's over 30 scriptures in the New Testament that we are called to do, and none of them can we do by ourselves. All of them require a local body of believers to accomplish the New Testament church. Get in a group. We need people. We need people in our lives so that you can have people you're comfortable with. Why do you want me to be comfortable, Pastor? So glad you asked, because I want you to be able to take your mask off. Because all of us are wearing a big old mask right now. Things about you that nobody else knows. There's things about me that you don't know. I don't get up here and tell you all the things going on. Hey, I'm struggling with this. You know, I'm really discouraged in this area. I've got disappointments here. No, my job is to equip and to strengthen you and to build you guys up. But I'm in trouble if I don't have anybody to share those things with. I'm in trouble. But I'm telling you, I do have people in my life that I share those things with. I've got people that I've surrounded myself with that are further down the path than me. And people that are coming up, you know, I'm surrounded by people that aren't as far. And we get together on a regular basis and we share those things. I'm struggling in this area and I don't know what to do. What should I do? I'm really discouraged in this area. We share these things. We pray together. We cry together. We deal with these things. Why is that so important? Let me share it to you from the Bible. If you don't believe me, you can believe what the Bible says. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins to, not to God, to each other. And pray for each other that you will be healed. Man, we need healing in these things. And it just comes from this growing together in circles, from being in small groups with people where we can just have a moment where you can take that off and I can just be real with you and here's what I'm dealing with. And then we pray together. Here's what happens then. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, produces wonderful results. We love to quote that scripture, don't we? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Jesus, thank you for my Ferrari. I'm going to pray earnestly. And that's good. That's good. I hope Jesus gives you a Ferrari. But that's not the whole verse. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other that you'll have healing in your life. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, produces wonderful results. We need each other, y'all. We are better together. I'm fired up about groups. We need to get in a group this morning. Number three, I'm going to develop my relationship with the team. You need to get on a team. Because being on a team is great. You get to accomplish a goal. You start in one place, you end up in another place, and that's great. But just being on a team is fun, y'all. Doing something with somebody else, it's fun. It's a whole lot better than being by yourself all the time. And honestly, you'll never accomplish anything significant in life by yourself. It's always going to take a team. You need a team. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, there was a man all alone. He had no brother or son. There was no end to his toil.
yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. So here's a picture of this guy striving. He's working every day trying to get that promotion so he can get the corner lot house with the picket fence, with the two cars out front, the 2.5 kids, so he can have the beach house and the boat and all the things that everyone strives for. And it says he's not even content. He's wealthy. He's got it all. He's got everything. He was wealthy. He got everything, but he had no team. He had no one. He was alone. In the very next verse, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. You need a team. God designed us this way to be better together. He designed us to work together to accomplish tasks. I don't even know where I could get on a team. We have over 25 teams that you can be part of here at Victory. And can I tell you, when you're on a team, that's also a group of people. Now we're compounding that with powerful habits. Being in a group of godly people that are accomplishing a purpose, not just any purpose, but divine, heavenly purposes that are changing the eternal destinies of people's lives. Come on, there's nothing greater to be a part of. You need to get on a team. Get on a team. Get on a team. Yes, this is the part of service where I'm telling you to get on a team. Number four, develop my relationship with God. I'm going to develop my relationship with God. I want you to think about this word for a minute, develop, because you're like, Pastor, that sounds like a no-brainer. Of course, I'm going to develop my relationship with God. But this word develop actually means to grow, or to cause to grow, or to become more mature. And doesn't that sound like the verse we started with, Romans 12? God bringing out the best in you. Developing well-formed maturity in you. Have you ever imagined what your life would really be like if you just went all in? If you just went all in with God. God, I'm all in. Have you ever really thought about what that would be like? Sometimes it's easy for us to be like, God, I'll try this after 30 days. I need the no credit card money back guarantee in this deal, all right? It's true, though. But that'd be like if I was to say, hey, guys, this afternoon I'm going to try to be in the NBA. Thank you for not laughing too hard. This is crazy, isn't it? There's no way I could just go this afternoon. They would be shooting, dribbling circles around me. There's no way that could happen because I didn't put anything into it. You'll never get to the moment of payoff where you really want to be until you put all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your sweat, all of your tears, everything you have, not until you pour yourself into it. You'll never see the payoff. You'll never get to the point with God where you see Him moving in your life, where you see restoration in your family, until you're just all in with Him. And you want to see your kids grow up and serve God all the days of their life. Then it's going to take you going all in. See, this church Christianity stuff, it doesn't work when you do it a little bit. It just doesn't. It doesn't work that way. That's why Jeremiah 29 says, if you search for me with your whole heart, you'll find me. As if he's saying, if you just search for me with a little bit, without your whole heart, you're just going to say, I don't know, this stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. Of course it doesn't work. You didn't go all in. You weren't in it with your whole heart. You weren't looking for him with everything that you had. Of course it didn't work. See, we've got to get ourselves to the point where we're just all in. Everything I have is yours. I'm all in with you, God. What would your life be like? This year, you said, God, I'm all in. I'm going to be in church whenever it's there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get on a team, God. I'm going to go through the next steps. I'm going to get developed as a leader. I'm going to get on a team. I'm going to get in a group, God. I'm going to sever some relationships I don't need, God. I'm going to get the right people in my life. I'm going all in with you, God. I'm going to go where you say. I'm going to give what you said. I'm going to speak what you say, God. I'm all in. Everything is yours. What would your life look like? I promise you, you won't regret it. I promise you won't regret it. You'll get to 1 year from now and you'll look back at your life and it'll be totally different. I was reminded this week of something that happened in our church, of a couple that they're not here today, but it's because she just had a baby this Friday. She's in the hospital with her baby right now. And it's awesome, yeah. But the story of how they got there is even more amazing, is that 1 year ago, almost exactly 1 year ago, she got connected in our church, not through Sunday morning, but through a small group, through a connect group. One of the ladies said, hey, I've got this great group of women that I'm a part of. Why don't you come join me? She worked with her. So she came. She's struggling with not being able to have children. What doctors and people are telling her, it's never going to happen. It's not going to work out for you. Just So many thoughts of the enemy coming, just trying to bombard her, trying to ruin her life, pulling her away from the destiny God has for her. She got involved in this group of women that are speaking life into her. I know that's what they're saying. This is what the Word of God says. Building her up, strengthening her. Now they're connected. They're on a team here in the church. They're serving. They're part of this body. And guess where they are this morning? She's holding that baby girl that people said she would have. Come on, that's what you've been saying. I'm telling you what, when you go all in with God, your life will be different. You'll begin to see the promise that He has for you. Begin, as you take those steps, you'll begin to walk it out. I'm telling you what. So I want to pray this morning. Just everybody, start where you are, bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody peeking or looking around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or call anybody down, but right, if you're just right where you are, you're like, I need to go all in this morning. I've been holding back in areas of my life, but today is my day. I'm going all in. If that's you this morning, just all across this room, would you lift your hand with me? I want to pray for you. Yes, I see hands all over the place. All right, yes, thank you. Thank you, yes, all over the place. Thank you, yes, yes. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You can put those hands down. And maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I feel so far from God this morning. He feels a million miles away. I don't even know who He is. I've never invited Him into my life, but this morning I've got to have what you're talking about. I need God in my life. See, without God in our life, there's no hope. If you've been living a hopeless life, you're in the right place. God is a God that can bring hope to a hopeless situation. That's why Jesus came, to give you hope, to pay for something that you could never pay for, so that you could be part of His family, so that you could have everything good that He wants you to have. And if that's you this morning, you say, I'm far from God, I need Him in my life this morning, would you just, across this room this morning, right where you are, just lift your hand. I want to pray with those this morning across this room. All right, thank you. You can put those down. Let's just say this prayer out loud. Those of you raising your hands on both of those this morning, let's pray this all out loud together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. I'm going all in with you, God. Every part of me is yours. My heart, my mind, my life is yours, Jesus. Thank you for making me new.